morning and do our best to give you what God's laid on our heart today. I hope God's laid it on my heart. I think I'm in over my head, but I'm going to try to do my best. You know, getting back to tithing, I'll never forget several years ago when Brother Raines was with us. We took up the offering one night when he came to preach. He said, I've never understood why people pray over the offering before they received it. How you can pray over something you hadn't received yet. I never said anything, but I thought the Bible said, ask and you shall receive. And so you pray because you trust God to put it in. Amen. And then thank Him at the same time for what He does do. And I thought that's a pretty good answer to that. Amen. And certainly we want to do that. Trust God for it. Ask God for it. Seek His face for it. For the good things of life. Well, it's good to be here this morning. And I hope the Lord will help us a little while in the book of Solomon again this morning. Song of Solomon in chapter number 8 once again. Song of Solomon, chapter number 8. And when you find your place there, most of you are already standing. And we're going to begin reading with verse number 9 today. In fact, that's the only verse that we will read is in chapter 8 and verse number 9. The Bible said, if she be a wall, we will build upon her a palace of silver. And if she be a door, we will enclose her with boards of cedar. Now may the Lord add His blessing to that this morning. And would you please pray that God would touch Brother Hall this morning and let him preach to you and help you. Help myself. And at the same time, and do my best to lift up the name of the Lord and the cross and magnify Him in our presence that we might rejoice in Him today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful this morning for the good grace of God that hath brought salvation. We thank You, Lord, for the cross of Calvary. Thank You for the love of God that's been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit that's been given unto us. Lord, we thank You for the freedom and the privilege to assemble in the house of God. Lord, I realize that everything will be vain this morning except God passes by to breathe on us that breath of life, and God to quicken Thy Word to our hearts, and Lord, that it might rejoice us and revive us, and those that are lost, that it might redeem. And Lord, I'd pray for freedom and liberty now to an expression of thought and mind. Help me to say that which You've laid upon my heart. And Lord, You know the struggle that we've had with it this week. And I pray, O God, that You'd give great wisdom in these next few moments, that Thy Word might be declared, God's people might be blessed, sinners be saved, and we'd find help and grace and strength for this hour of need from the hand of God. And we'll thank You, Lord, and praise You for it, for we ask it in the precious name of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Again, in verse number 9, in the very first part of that verse, the Bible said, if she be a wall, we will build upon her a palace of silver. I want to try to preach this morning, and I hope to get to the thought by and by. But I want to try to preach for a little while on the thought of silver habitations. Silver habitations, God's dwelling place. Silver habitations. In verse 9 that I read to you just a moment ago, the bridegroom, our Lord Jesus Christ, is giving his answer to the question in verse number 8. The question had come up or had arisen, what shall we do with this little sister? She's a little sister and she hath no breast. What shall we do for her in the day that she is spoken of? And in verse 9, we find the answer to that. The Lord said, if she be a wall, then we'll build upon her a palace of silver. Amen. And if she be a door, we will enclose her with boards of cedar. Amen. And I think what we find in verse 9 is the perfected state of the child of God. We find there a mature Christian living by faith according to the precepts of the Word of God. If you remember, I mentioned in verse 8 that this little sister was a Christian, no doubt, related both to the groom and to the bride, but without real maturity. She was a little sister, and she had no breath. But the Lord's reply was, if she's just a wall, then we will build upon her that palace of silver. And if she is a door, we'll enclose her with boards of cedar. And I believe that both of these expressions, the palace of silver and a door with boards of silver, are indicative of Christian maturity. That is a position in the Lord's eyes where we have arrived to that state of perfection. Now somebody said, look, preacher, you're talking about sinless perfection? No, I'm talking about maturity. The Lord said, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Not referring to sinless perfection, but referring to a place of Christian maturity. Grown up, born again ones that have lived long enough that they're no longer on milk, but they have learned to enjoy the strong meat from the Word of God. And I believe both of these expressions here are pictures of that child of God after they have walked with Him for some time, have grown in grace and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus, and have become a mature Christian. Now, please notice, I want you to notice three or four things before I get into the message. That what the Lord begins, the Lord finishes. There is no doubt about that. From the very foundation of the structure to the finished product, our Lord is working in you and I. And He will complete that which He begins. God is not like you and I. So many times we begin a task and then we fall short of finishing that task. But God is not so. He said, if she is only a wall, then we will build upon her a palace of silver. And if she is just a door, then we will enclose her with boards of cedar, indicating that the work of grace that had begun in her, that God would perform it. I've used this verse so many times, and the reason, it is one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. When I grow cold and indifferent, I read this verse. When I become discouraged about what's going on, I read this verse. When I feel like God hath deserted me, I read this verse of Scripture. But Brother Paul said, then Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And you can mark that down, friend. I'm not an Armenian, I'm a Baptist. And I'm confident that if by grace God starts a work in our heart and life, He will finish that work by the same grace that He starts it with in you and I. And by the way, He never fails, God never fails, and God never falls short of His task. You know, you and I look at ourselves at times when we're just a wall and we see an unfinished product and we wonder, Lord, how can it be? Will I ever get to where I should be for You? Will I ever really grow up in the Lord? Will I ever be able to handle situations? Will I ever be able to handle trials and temptations and troubles? Will I ever be able to love my wife as I ought to and as a wife? Will I ever be able to submit to my husband as I should? Will I ever learn to pray? Will I ever learn to praise? Will I ever learn to sing and worship and praise God? And I say to you, yes, down the road somewhere, by God's grace, we will do that, because God cannot fail, and God will finish everything that He starts. God will finish it. I guarantee you, He started out in day one creating the heavens and the earth and the world and everything within it, and He did not rest until the seventh day, friend, when everything that God started was finished, and that work that God started in you back yonder at Calvary, wherever you met Him at. I think Lisa said it was on March the 8th, 1966. I'll guarantee you, wherever it was you met Him, 365 feet down, wherever it might have been, that God will finish that task that He has started within you. He'll do it. He'll do it. I want you to... I must have said something odd. Huh?
It's March 8, 1966.
Well, praise God. That's a pretty good day. She was a thought in my mind back then. Amen. And there she sits. Believe it or not, God finished it. Amen to God. She ain't quite that old. Amen. I want you to notice, secondly, who is doing the building? God said, we will build upon her. We will build upon her. The Bible said in Psalm 127:1, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. I want to say, my friend, unless we are laborers together with Christ, the building will not stand. Now, I'm going to tell you what this tells me. This tells me that there will be those that labor in vain. Now, friend, there are those that are trying to build up a wall that God can build a palace on, and they're not going to get the job done. I'm saying you've got to be more than a professor of religion in order to see Him build that palace of silver. Got to be a possessor of salvation, a possessor of the Holy Ghost. A man has got to be saved by the grace of God. Now, I tell you, that work that the Lord started, He will finish it, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And happy day, happy day, happy day when you realize that you are just a co-laborer with God, and the work and the results in your life are the responsibility of God and not ours. We're just like grunts in the military. Ours is not the reason why. Ours is but to do and die and let God do the work in our bosom that'll bring glory and honor to Him. Amen. That's right. That's right. Lisa said, I don't understand what's going on right now, but I want to trust Him. Well, neither do I. I don't. But I'm telling you, the Lord is building a house. I don't understand what's going on in some of your lives there either, but I'm confident that the Lord is building Him a dwelling place that pleases Him, a silver palace that will glorify Him. Oh yes, and you and I can enjoy as we co-inhabit that dwelling place with the great God of glory. Bless His wonderful name. I feel like I could get drunk today. Amen. That's right. Notice the third thing, that there is a responsibility there toward man. We will build. And personally, I believe the we there indicates Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Now, that Jesus-only crowd would deny that, but they can be wrong if they want to. And that ain't the only place they're wrong in. They're wrong a lot of other places as well. We will build, but I'm here to tell you, friend, there is a responsibility there of man. And I'll get into that in a minute. But He said, if she's only a wall, then I will build. Then we will build a palace of silver upon her. Somebody said, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, my friend, not until she becomes a wall, is the silver palace ever built upon her. And there must be an earnest effort on the part of man in order to get the job done. God is not going to honor you if we sit back on our blessed assurance and absolutely do nothing on our own to grow in grace and knowledge of Him, that we might be that silver palace that God would be pleased to dwell in. That is right. Amen. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3:9, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." That indicates that God and I together are laboring together in order to finish this product that God is a laboring on to perfect my grace and make a trophy of grace out of it for His honor and glory. That is right. I know that's right. We're God's building, friend. Amen. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that we got to take apart. We're going to have to set aside time to pray. We're going to have to set aside time to read. We're going to have to set aside a time to study. We're going to have to ensure that we come to church with an attitude of worship and praise and not just laid back and complacent and let God bless somebody else. It's the idea of coming to church, God bless me this morning that I might be a blessing in the assembly of the house of God. Amen. That's right. There's a responsibility of man involved. God's not going to save us and just let us sit down like a monk and ever hope to accomplish anything in our life. We're going to take time to pick up that book and read it, study it, pray, worship, give grace an opportunity to operate, to become active in our heart. Oh, yes, sir. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a pup tent all of my life. Isn't it terrible to think that God has to dwell in a pup tent when the Bible says that He can dwell in a palace of silver on top of the wall for the glory of God? I don't want to be a pup tent all my life. I don't want to be a frame shack or a shanty. I don't want to be a thatched hooch. I don't want to be a hooch like those I saw in Vietnam. Why should we settle, my friend, to be a pup tent when we can be a palace for the glory of God? And by the way, if you're saved by the grace of God, He lives in your bosom. Whether you be a pup tent or a palace, God will honor you and live there. But why? Why be a tent when we can be a palace for the glory and honor of God? Now I want to mention at least four things that I think there must be in building this palace of silver that represents man's final state of perfection. Now you hang right with me. I want to say favor, first of all. The favor of God must be bestowed. God's wonderful grace. He said we must build. Now I'm afraid there's where a lot of people, miss out on. They fail to recognize the grace of God operative in their life. Some of you, I think, have the idea. I think some of you would be good to join a General Baptist church. Somebody told me the other day that they knew a General Baptist boy that got called to preach today, and the preacher told him he ought to be preaching tomorrow. Well, that sounds good. Come on now. That sounds good. There's only a problem with that. Grace does not operate that way. I want to say it by saying if grace has a small beginning in our life, don't expect too much too early in your Christian life. Some folks want to be a giant, bless God, before they ever get out of diapers. Amen. That's right. They want to be a man and before they ever learn to be a toddler. Grace has a small beginning. He said, if you be a wall, then we'll build upon her a palace of silver. But I've got news for you, friend. Grace was operating in her life a long time before she ever became a wall. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but that wall sits on a foundation, and grace was at work long before the foundation was ever laid to build the wall on, to build the palace on. Got a small beginning. Don't get too discouraged if you don't mushroom up overnight and become a giant spiritual person in 24 hours of time. Grace has its occasion, but it takes its time. Now, I'm just going to talk my way through this, all I can do. Grace has its occasion, but it takes its time. It was not until what? Acts chapter number 9, 10, 8, 9, 10, maybe 13, somewhere in there, when Paul and Barnabas got to the church at Antioch, was the first time the Bible said, and they saw the grace of God. I'm telling you, it may take a while to see the grace of God working in the heart and the life of a Christian. Amen. That's right. That's right. That's right. It has a small beginning. Hang in there a little while. It's like Brother Matthias said, it's kind of like a funnel, and we got in on the small end of the thing. It'll get bigger and better on up the road. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter it goes. The longer I live, the more I know. Hallelujah to God. I got in on the small end of the funnel, and grace is getting bigger every day of my Christian life. And I haven't arrived, and neither of you. And I'm going to tell you, when we think we've arrived, we ain't got near as far along as what we think we have. That grace has got a very, very small beginning. Don't expect too much too soon. Now I'm going to say it has little beauty while it's at work. Grace has very little beauty while it's still operative in our life. It took me a long time to realize that. Somebody said, "Preacher, what on earth are you talking about?" I'm glad somebody else. Hey, the wall. He said, if she be a wall, that wall had to be have a beginning somewhere. It didn't just spring up, jump up, and become a wall overnight. Oh, no, sir. There were some long hours of framework and building. Now, I'll guarantee you, friend, that wall was as ugly as a mud fence while it was in the building, but it was only reached beauty when it was perfected and the pallets of silver was set down upon top of it. I want to illustrate it like this. When Ben and Angie went out there on that 41 acres to build their home, we stood there on that little finger, and I call it runs down through those woods. And I said, "Benny, this would be a fine place to build a house." Now, I want to ask you where grace had its beginning in building that house. Somebody said, "Oh, preacher, grace had it in that house when they laid that foundation and started building the floor work and the framing upon that foundation." Wrong. In fact, grace had its beginning long before that. Grace had its beginning when he went to the bank and borrowed. No. Grace had its beginning the day we drove out there and stood on that gravel road and looked down over that little old finger out through them woods. And Minnie looked there and said, "Boy, I believe this would be a real place to build a home on." I thought, "Oh, Benny, it would be a beautiful, beautiful place." And in his mind's eye, he didn't see that little finger of land stretching out through them woods full of honeysuckles and pine trees and oak trees and sawbriars and thickets. Oh, no. He saw a home setting there that should be occupied in its perfection by him and his wife. And what are you saying? I'm saying, friend, that grace in its beginning, friend, picked us up long before we were ever a finished product. But in the eyes of God, He saw us afar off when we were yet in sin and saw you and I as a finished product, not, my friend, as polluted in our own blood, dead in our sin. He saw us alive and well and beautified by the grace of God in our life. I know that's right. I'm going to tell you, when Benny looked at that house that day, he thought, "Praise God. Wouldn't it be good to build a home there?" So grace began to work. The first thing he did was bought the land. Woo! Thank God the first thing he done was bought the land to build the palace on. Hallelujah to God. That was the first step. Amen. Amen. But all the time, old Benny bought that land still. No house. No house. Miss Sharon's daddy went out there, took a big bulldozer and started scraping off that land. Grace still a-working. Grace still a-working. But I never seen anything so ugly in all my life was all them trees piled and pushed up into little piles and heaps and stacks and mud all over the place. And I never seen anything so ugly in all. Still no house. We're looking for a house. Yeah. We're looking for a dwelling place. But some grace had its beginning long before that. And I guarantee you that field wasn't very beautiful, or the house wasn't very beautiful, when all that stood was a field cleared off by a bulldozer. Then they went to digging ditches and it got uglier. Then it rained and got muddy and it got uglier. To be quite honest, when they laid the foundation and set the flooring on it, it got uglier. Mud and footprints and concrete blocks, and nothing looked right about it. Friend, that's exactly how your life looks as a child of God, as a young Christian. Unfinished. Plowed by the gospel plow. Fred up and all the rubbish piled up on the sides. But honey, stand fast in God, because God will eventually burn the rubbish, clear off a lot, and build a wall that He can set a palace of silver on for the glory of God. He ain't done working on you. And I'm going to tell you, the longer that thing went, the more excited Ben and Angie got. I could talk that same thing about my house. I remember the first day I walked over, I hung the trap and burnt the engine up in the trap. It was so muddy and gommy over there. Yeah, went over to look at it and hung it up and burnt the engine slap out of it, friend. Went in mud that deep with it. Although, man, never get a house back in here. Full of all them little trees, but I kept visualizing in my mind what it looked like. Woo-wee! Now, I must admit, when Brother Wayne went in there and dropped that big blade on that DC-9 or whatever it was, and I heard them trees going pop, 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 sound like matchsticks, it still wasn't very pretty. No, sir. And the day that Brother Robert and I and Sharon's daddy and Elliot Smith was over there pouring that concrete, Brother Mark came over and drove them little old steel stakes up down. I'm telling you, it began to rain, and it rained, and it rained, and it rained, and we mucked and mired and mucked and mired. I'm telling you, it was an ugly sight to look at. But I'm here to tell you, friend, I had something in the back of my mind that nobody could visualize but me. I saw a home, a dwelling place that would house Mrs. Hall and I until the day that God called us home. I'm here to tell you, the work God's doing on you, you may not be very charming and beautiful now, but hang with God, son. He's a clearing off a spot to build a wall on, to set a silver palace on, to dwell in for all time and eternity. He ain't building a dwelling place temporarily. No. The longer that house was built, the more excited I got. The better it looked all the time. Ain't that right, son? Am I telling it right? Called Benny the other day and said, what are you doing now? He said, varnishing doors. I said, how much floor you got down? Got all the upstairs down, the mud room, the bathroom, part of the hallway, part of the dining room, part of the kitchen. I said, is it looking better? Looking better all the time, Daddy. Looking better all the time. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. There's going to come a day when all the floor work will be down. Oh, the trim work will be up. Yes, sir. Everything will be painted, stained, and varnished. All the doors hung, all the cabinets on the wall, jacuzzi tubs in, tile on the walls and the floor. Hallelujah to God! And someday there'll be grass sown where leaves used to stand, trees pushed back and burnt where piles of rubbish used to be. And I'm telling you, God is a pushing away of the rubbish in your life to build a dwelling place on that that'll be glorious in the eyes of Almighty God. He's building a silver habitation for you. Amen. I'll say the same thing about Brother Mark. It'll come together, Brother Mark. It'll come together. I believe God's doing what He's doing to try your faith, to test you a little bit. Amen. See if you got any hangability. You don't know what God's going to do with you down in the future. Might be looking at the next world evangelist. Somebody said, ah. That's what I'm saying. Are you listening to me? That's the point I'm trying to get across. Grace starts real small and has no beauty in its early beginning. And you don't know what God is going to do with that finished product. Woo! Son, you know anything about God, grace, and the work of the Holy Ghost? Somebody ought to jump up now and say, amen! I I remember when I was crude and rude. Remember when I was a nude dude in a rude mood. Like that maniac. Are you listening to me? You wouldn't have thought much of me then. Some of you don't think much of me now, but you'd have thought less. If you'd have seen me with that blue ribbon bottle between my legs, that Marlboro hanging out my lip, and them Bermudas on, and that tank top. What on earth can this be? It's just nothing but grace. It's already been paid for. And grace will soon begin to operate. And you just wait, son, until grace has its finished effect. And there's a silver pellet and a dwelling place for God sitting on the wall. Hallelujah. You're making Brother Hall work today. Amen. The favor of God has a small beginning, has a little beauty while at work, or has little beauty while at work. And it works humility in its recipient. Huh? Don't brag about it. Don't brag about what God. You don't brag about yourself. You can brag about the grace of God. Old Brother Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, 9 and 10, "For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God," Paul said, "I am what I am." He realized that God, the Lord, was a building him and a working on him, bringing him from a little sister that had no breath to a great wall with a silver palace sitting on top of that wall. Amen. Amen. But he said, "But the grace of God bestowed upon me was not in vain." Woo! "But I labored more abundantly than you all." He said, God's grace brought labor. There's that co-laborers, workers together. "Yet not I," said, "but the grace of God, which was with me." Even Paul realized, friend, if it wasn't for the grace enabling him to work together with God, there'd be no work done in his life. I'm trying to help us. Stay with me. I see, first of all, the favor. And he said, "A wall. If she be a wall." I've never seen a wall yet that you could build without first laying a foundation. Well, I've set it on a foundation, friend. Amen. Isn't it marvelous? You still can't see that foundation. You can't see the favor and you can't see the foundation. That favor is like the wind of God. You knew it come by your way. You don't know where it come from or where it's going. You can't see that foundation. Don't sit there and squint your eyes up to me and act like you can. I've been in this business a while, friend. I have never seen Christ, but I know that what He's doing in my life is on a firm foundation, my friend. Oh, you saints of the Lord, you've got a firm foundation that's been laid for the wall to be built upon. And I guarantee you, the foundation can hold both the wall and the palace for the glory of God. Well, no trouble with that. No, sir. Listen to this verse. Isaiah 28:16. "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste." Son, I'm glad the foundation's laid, son. Amen to God. I looked up that word stone. It's mentioned three times in that verse of Scripture. And it simply means to build. Something you build with. You build. He said, "I have laid in Zion at Calvary at the cross where I met Him. I've laid at the cross a sure stone, a foundation. It is there that your life is beginning to build. It all revolves around the cross of the Lord Jesus." Amen. Hallelujah. That stone. Now come on in the house, boys and girls. Notice he said it's a tried stone. That is, it's been examined. No weak points, no flaws, and no cracks in that foundation. It is a tried stone. Amen. No faults in it. None whatsoever. That old Pontius Pilate, when he examined the Lord, he said, "I find no fault in Him." That thief upon the cross, when he come to that place to die, he made a statement. He said, "But this man hath done nothing amiss." Old brother Peter, in his own writing, said, "In his mouth is no guile." Right here's where I'd like to settle down and preach. If God will help me. I'm saying, friend, there's no flaws in that foundation. It is a tried foundation. You can trust the Lord, trust the Bible, trust the church. There's been men and women building upon the foundation of Christ for years, and He's never let one of them down. When He lets you down, come on to church and make a regular fool out of yourself and tell me God let you down. When He wouldn't hold you up any longer, make a fool out of yourself and tell me that. When you say, "God can't, God didn't, God won't, God won't," make a fool out of yourself, brother.
Amen. Yes, sir.
He's been tried. Three Hebrew boys went in a furnace of fire. They found Him to be a tried stone. A sure foundation. That's right. Old Nebuchadnezzar looked in and said, "Lo, we throw three men in there, but I see four loose and walking around, and that fourth guy looks like the Son of God to me."
Amen.
I want to ask you something. Was they burned? Was they singed? No, sir. They come out of that fire, friend, didn't have a hair on their head singed. Simply but trusting God. Amen! Do you think it right in the Bible, son, that He delivered the Hebrews and let you fall by the wayside? Put Him to the test. Build your life on Him. Trust Him. Trust Him to save your families. Trust Him to save your children. I locked in right there last night for some of your children. Some of you's mom and daddies are locked in right there, Liza. I'm telling you, friend, trust Him. Put Him to the test. He'll deliver you. That's right. Amen. He held up the three Hebrews in the furnace of fire. He held up Jeremiah when no one listened to his preaching, like some of you are doing this morning. It don't matter to me whether you listen or not. I'll just be honest with you. What God has laid on my heart, He's laid on my heart. I sat here and preached to you on Tuesday night and broke out in a cold sweat trying to preach to you. And some of you sat there and looked at me like a calf in a new gate with a frown on your face and wouldn't smile if Jesus Christ walked in. But I'm going to tell you something. Jeremiah said, "Lord, they won't listen. Their face is adamant as steel." And God said, and He said, "I will not preach in your name ever again." And God said, He said, it was like a fire shut up in my bones and I could not stay. And I'm going to tell you, friend, Jeremiah, do you know what brought the tears to his eyes and the grief to his heart? It was a bunch of stiff-necked, rebellious Jews that would not believe or listen to the preaching of the Bible that He gave them. He said, if you go out, God had pronounced judgment. And He said, if you just go up to the king of Babylon, the city will be spared. That king said, "No, I don't believe you, Jeremiah." People said, "We don't believe you, Jeremiah." And the king wound up with his eyes punched out and his feet in shackles and his own children slain before his very eyes and saw Jerusalem's walls torn down, the gates burned with fire, and the city pillaged and destroyed. And all the vessels of the house of God carried away down into Babylon. Now I'm here. Are you listening to me now? I'm here to tell you, friend, except some of you, get your head out of the sand and start listening to preaching That's right. I love you. I love you. I love you. But I'm telling you, if some of you don't get your head out of the sand and listen to what Brother Hall has been trying to tell you for weeks, you're going to watch the precious things of your life go down the drain and down the tube. Go out and away from you in your life. Spiritually pillaged and ruined because the judgment of God will fall where people refuse to heed the Word of God. Amen. Amen and amen and amen. He held up David when his friends turned against him. That's right. David, betrayed by his own boy and his own friends and family, turned against him. Yet God stood with him. Paul saw them all turn against him. But nevertheless, he said, "The Lord stood with me." The Lord saw them all depart. Nevertheless, God the Father stood with him. Are you listening to me at all? I'm saying he's been examined, friend. They've been people standing on him a long time. Long before we ever got here, and they'll be standing on him for a long time after we're gone. I will say, not only is that stone examined, that foundation, but it's exquisite. I mean, it's of great value. He said it's a precious stone. Peter said in 1 Peter 2:7, "Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious." You know what makes that foundation so precious? One of a kind. I remember looking at a diamond some years ago. The man said, "You better buy it." I said, "Why?" He said, "There ain't none like it." Amen. One of a kind. And I'm here to tell you, none other foundation can be laid other than that which is laid. Son, that's what makes it precious. It's rarity. Full of wealth and riches and treasures untold. An exquisite treasure. One of a kind. One foundation. Told a story years ago about that man in Michigan. Built his house in a luxurious place. Thought he had it made for life, and come in one evening from going out on the town honky-tonk, and come in and his home had fallen off out into the bay, out into the lake. You know why? He built it on sand. And the years of time had eroded away that sand underneath of that home where it was built, and eventually it collapsed and fell. Oh, that is right. And great was the fall of it. Now, I tell you, there's no other foundation, folks, you can build on. There's going to come a day when your life expires on this earth. I mean, it vanishes away just in a twinkling of an eye, in a moment of time. Old Brother Barry Rackley, a boy I went to school with, called me yesterday morning. Was a talking. He'd been in a meeting down in North Carolina and saw Brother Eddie Watts. Eddie told him I'd been down there, and he called me and was talking to me. We talked for a while, and he said, "By the way, preacher," he said, "how old are you now?" "About 44, 45. I said, "Son, you missed it a decade." He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "55. He said, "Oh, I bet you're pretty white by now, huh?" I said, "Son, you ain't seen the half. Ain't never been told how white it really is." It'll get away from you, friend.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, when it comes time to die, you'll thank God that foundation that held you up in your life.
Amen.
That, and look here, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but the foundation is Christ, but the wall is your life that is being built upon the foundation.
Amen.
And when it comes time to set that silver pallet on the wall, you will be glad you got that wall on a proper foundation, friend.
Amen.
And we ain't running the aisles. There ain't nobody jumping around about. If you can get a hold of something I'm saying this morning, this afternoon, after 1 o'clock or before 1 o'clock, it'll help you. It's one of a kind. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid. It's kind of like Goliath's sword. Remember when David and 1 Samuel went to Ahimelech running from Esau, and he went running in, and he said, "Hey," he said, "the Ahimelech, the priest," he said, "give me whatever's under your hand. Give me a morsel of bread." And he said, "There ain't no bread here except the show bread." He said, "Well," he said, "I give you that if the young men haven't touched a woman." He said, "They haven't been with a woman these days." He said, "Give us the show bread." David said, "By the way, is there a a sword or a spear in your hand. He said, there's none here but the sword of Goliath. Amen. And I've got it wrapped up in a cloth.
Amen.
Son, that's a...
Amen.
Whew, that's another story. Amen. Altogether, I'm glad the sword... No.
Amen.
Yes, that was written by men.
Amen.
Is wrapped in a cloth. Amen. A precious treasure of the grace of God.
Amen.
He said... I got that glass sword here. It's wrapped up in a cloth back in there. David said, go back there and get it. For there ain't no sword like that sword.
Amen.
And he said, give it me.
Amen.
Not another like it.
Amen.
Bigger, better,
yes,
and sharper. But do you know the main reason there wasn't another sword like that sword? It was a tried sword, friend.
Amen.
David knew it had an edge that had cut the head off of the biggest giant he'd ever encountered. And if it cut the head off of the biggest giant, son, it had cut the head off the little ones along with it. Hallelujah to God! What am I saying, Brother Hall? Amen! We know, son, if the foundation is one of a kind and it's helped up others, you and I can depend upon it, for it'll hold us up also. Hallelujah. Amen. I won't say it's established.
Amen.
He said it's a sure foundation. I mean it's proven to be valid. That's all it means is to establish. Huh? It's valid. I want to ask you a question this morning, this afternoon, whatever it is. Why do you want to look for something different? Preaching and the gospel and the house of God. In the old time hymns. Why do people want to look for that myth? A bunch of men that claim, that call themselves punks. See right now. We've got a church 12 miles from here that's trying to find another foundation to build on. And son, if seeking sand, it'll never work. The old gospel still works. The old hymn still works. Old time preaching still works. Jesus is still working yet today, buddy. Old time apparel still works. Brother Hall, we don't like Amazing Grace no more. Man, we're going to get down and dirty. Are you listening to me? And I'm not trying to be cute, but it is cute. I'm telling you, I went to a Brush Arbor meeting a few years ago over here and had a group in there singing. Man and his wife and another woman, another man or something, and they had a little boy, and they give him a phony guitar. Didn't even have strings on it. And while that family was supposedly singing to the glory of God, that little boy was standing there. He had a strap on that guitar hung plumb to his knees, son. And he was standing there going. And I thought, unto God, what is wrong with that old family? What's wrong with the old past? What's wrong with the old time way?
Amen.
Get in the old past. Why, it is a good way. But I'm going to tell you, that crowd said, we will not walk therein. And there's a crowd of them devils today that still say, I will not submit to old time Holy Ghost heartfelt salvation. You get toward the kind of preaching I do and the way I lead the service, let me know and I'll leave. But I'm not a... You want me to leave, huh, brother? Oh, I don't know. That's right. We ain't going the new way.
Right.
Oh, no. That old-timey preaching will still get the job done. Some of you said, "Preacher, we're sure in a lull right now. Ain't much going on. Ain't much happening." I told you, grace in operation is not very beautiful. The framework, son, is not the finished product. And our preaching and our praying and our praising is just the framework of the ball. The silver temple is yet to be set down upon us.
Amen.
And I saw that city, that new Jerusalem under God, I'm about ready to run through that window. Coming down out of a bride, out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. And what did it set upon? It set upon 12 foundations. Hallelujah to God. The foundation wasn't much, but the structure on top sure was a beautiful, holy place. Hallelujah. That's 2 of 4 points. Somebody's looking at their watch. I'm like that old-time Methodist years ago, my daddy's church. He said he went down into the watery grave. And when he come up, he was a cleansed man. I see some of you looking at your watches. But I nevertheless, I'm not a done a preaching yet.
Amen.
It'll help you if you get it. Because I really believe God brought us to this day. God has brought you to this place. He's reminded us that we're at one time we're little sisters without breath, but through the trials, the trouble, the tribulation, the hurt, the heartache, the sorrow that we went through, that God is a preparing us to set a silver palace down on the top of it.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Established is valid. Don't need to look for nothing else. Established by its antiquity. And I want to mention the faith that was blessed. Come on in the house now. Look here. The favor, you couldn't see the foundations under the ground. The faith has to be the wall. Brother Paul said, "For the life which I now live in the flesh, I now live in the flesh. I live with the faith of the Son of God that loved me and gave Himself for me." That wall is what you're doing with your life right now.
Amen.
That wall is what you're doing with your life right now.
Amen.
How you build on that foundation, wood, hay, stubble, gold, silver, and precious stones, it does make a difference.
Amen.
If she be a wall, what if you didn't make it to the wall? What if her faith was a fizzler? What if her faith she thought she had was no faith at all? That wall has got to be built by faith. You've got to trust God for something in your life. I'm talking about building a holy temple unto the Lord.
Amen.
Now, I'm not necessarily just talking about the church. I'm talking about the church primarily. But I'm talking about you personally. I'll get there in just a minute. Just stay with me. What about that faith? It works by love. And I can't explain this. I'm trying. Help me. Pray for me. Paul said in Galatians 5:16, "For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love."
Amen.
Do you know what makes faith work? Your love for Him.
Amen.
If you love Him, that faith will be operative. It'll be active.
Amen.
It'll be efficacious in your life. That you can see that life being built. It's kind of like marriage and the home.
Amen.
This hall got me another one of them little books. You oughtn't have done that. showed that little boy with that little rose. You know why he gave her that little rose, friend? He loved her. Showed her one time and she was kind of puffed and he was standing over behind her with that little rose. A big smile come on her face. They're building a life.
Amen.
And that life is by love. And I'm here to tell you, if we got the right kind of love for Jesus, son, we can overcome just like a home can overcome the differences, the difficulties that we come up against every day of our life. If we love that individual, son, the little problems and the difficulties can be overcome and worked out if there's real love involved. And I'm telling you, if there's love involved in our life for Christ and our marriage to Him, our faith will continue to work that life. Somebody said, I don't like what he's done with me. Well, that little girl didn't apparently like what that boy had done to her either. And it ain't a bed of roses. I don't know if I may not help you, but I'm helping me. That faith not only works by love, but it waits by patience. Hebrews 6:12, that crowd that was about ready to kick out and could have kicked out, Paul said that ye might not be slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. You know, when Abraham went out looking for a city that had foundations, he didn't find that city the first day. He didn't find it the second day or the third day or the first year or the second year or the 10th year or the 20th year or the 50th. In fact, these all died in faith.
Amen.
Not having received the promise.
Amen.
Just wait on God. Some of you are ticked, I believe, because you don't see yourself as spiritual, somebody close to you. You might be more spiritual than they are. You know, the people that don't see themselves too spiritual are ones that are spiritual.
Amen.
Not making any sense to you? We'll just talk the rest of the way through. That faith blessed works by love, waits by patience, and wins the promises.
Amen.
That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit. I'm going to tell you something, friend. Faith is a winner.
Amen.
That little two-letter word, if she be a wall,
amen,
then we'll build a palace of silver, amen, on top of her. The foundation is there, but faith must build on that foundation. And if there's no faith, there's no palace. You got that, didn't you, Brother Andy? Andy got that. Just then got it, I believe. No faith. Foundation is there, friend. The favor is already there. That wall is our responsibility. Faith. And he said, if she be a wall, if she's got any faith, then we'll build on her a palace of silver. Now I'm about done. Stay right with me. I see the finished product. And I was hoping to be here, we'd swing from the chandelier. But God knows what He's doing.
Amen.
If she be a wall, we'll build on her a palace of silver. God's dwelling place.
Amen.
God's eternal dwelling place. You know where it's at, and I ain't got all this. And if a lot of people hear me, they'll say I'm a heretic. But God dwells in this tabernacle of ours right now.
Amen.
Paul said in Acts 17, but God dwelleth not in temples made with hands. He don't dwell. He dwells in this tabernacle right here. And I really believe, you can believe what you want to believe, but I really believe that that tabernacle right there, when it's glorified, is that palace of silver that God will dwell in all of eternity.
Amen.
He will tabernacle in man all of eternity.
Amen.
You remember some years ago when I said, in my Father's house are many mansions?
Yes, sir.
You know what I said those mansions were?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Those mansions are... Whoever said it, those palaces of silver?
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
Isn't that something? We're dwelling in His house and He's dwelling in ours. Yes. Woo!
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Yes. I shall dwell in a silver palace.
Yes.
I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen. Amen.
Now listen, I'm about done. It's a silver palace, so that means it's redeemed, number one.
Amen.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Bought with a price. In case some of you didn't hear this, Steve, and I know Brother Steve and Brother Doug heard it, but old Ronnie Simpson on his broadcast about the first, second day he come on, talking about the Lord being sold for 30 pieces of silver. How many of y'all heard that? I hope none of you, very few of you. I hope few of you. Few of you. Good. 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 That makes it wonderful. 30 pieces of silver the Lord was sold for. That was His price. 30 pieces. Well, if you'll read over in the book of Numbers 27, it talks about the price of a male is 50 shekels of silver. And the price of a female is 30 shekels of silver. So the Lord wasn't no female, so why was He sold for 30 shekels of silver? I'm going to tell you why. He was sold for the price of a woman. You like to guess who that woman is? You, Brother Jerome. Palace of silver. Redeemed by 30 shekels of silver. He paid the price of a woman. Redeemed, 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 redeemed. Hallelujah. That's it!
Amen.
Did you get a hold of that?
Amen.
Read it when you get home. I believe Numbers 27. I'm going to tell you why Judas came back and threw it down at their feet. Holy Ghost just told me that. You ready?
Amen.
He can't be bought!
Amen.
Come without money, without price! Come by milk and wine without money, without price! Come drink from the fountain of life! Freely come, drink, come, eat freely! Free, buddy. Hallelujah. That palace is redeemed. That palace is pure. That silver is pure. You wouldn't want him to live in some old filthy house, would you? I was preaching. I know it's after 1 o'clock. I was preaching in Arizona. I was talking about, Bella got up and talked about how the Lord was dwelling in us. And he smelt like a Marlboro butt can. When I got up to preach, I said, well, I'm glad God lives in me, but I sure wouldn't want to be God after living some of y'all around here. I said, he'd choke to death from a cigarette smoke. He lives in a pure temple. That temple of silver, that palace of silver is purified. Now get this. He didn't call it a pup tent of silver. It's a luxurious dwelling place. It's a palace, friend. A tent or a cottage, oh, why should I care? They're building a palace for me over there. Of silver and diamonds and rubies and gold. I forgot the words of that song. Huh? My coffers are full, or his is, and riches untold. Well, I'm a child of the King. Would you help me? A child of the King. With Jesus my Savior, I'm a child of the King. Let's stand together, please. After all. Now, Father, I'm so thankful for Thy Word this morning. Slow in the service, but I hope soaking like a gentle spring rain. That Thy Word would soak deep into our hearts, the soil of our soul. And there, Lord, moisten the Word of God that's been sown there. May the gentle showers from heaven moisturize our spiritual being this day. Help us, O God, to totally yield ourselves to Thee. Lord, I'd pray if there's some here this morning that's never by faith seen the wall that's described here to be built. And I pray, O God, today they'd open their hearts to Thee, that grace may be operative. Building begun, knowing, Lord, that the work shall be finished. I want to thank you for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for keeping me. Thank you for grace and mercy. Thank you for your people who patiently sit and listen to me today. Help us, I pray, O God, in these moments. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Just as I am, is that it? Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I commend you. Get my old coat. My old one. If God spoke into your heart, are you letting Him build? Are you building today? For some reason, my heart goes out to you today. More than in most days. Are you really building a real life, a Christian life, a godly life, a holy life? If you're not, you can. If you're here and you've never been saved, you're outside of faith. You know the thought that come across my mind when Benny slipped his coat on my shoulder. One of these days I'll preach my last time. And I'll come to the end of the trail. I'll hang up my spurs and saddle and go out to meet God. My preaching will be over. And I want what I've done to be operative. Not only now, but then. Peter said, I'm going to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. In a gist, he said, there's coming a day when I won't be here. And I want to leave something behind that God can use to stir you up with. And I hope that some of you folks that are younger than I, years after I'm gone, if Lord tarries, can look back and say, I remember that day old Brother Hall preached. We was going through that struggle of our life, difficult time. And I didn't realize it then that God was a building a wall for a silver palace. But I'm so glad that I just laid hold to the promises of God and waited upon Him. And now, through the battles and the toils of time, I've got assurance that the silver palace is mine. Let's sing together. 282, just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I cry.